Welcome to Metro on KGNU. I'm Shakita Yarbrough, and I'm here on the first Monday of every month with my show, Victorious Single Parents. My guest today is Erica Fowler from Bridge to Justice, and we are discussing alternatives to conflict and what are your options with being separated, divorce. What are your options when there's conflict during separation? We're going to talk about a few things today, but today we have Erica Fowler from Bridge to Justice. Good afternoon, Erica.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for coming today. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all that you do. And if you don't mind, just tell the audience a little bit about Bridge to Justice.
Of course. So my name's Erica Fowler. I'm the senior staff attorney at Bridge to Justice, which is a small nonprofit law firm in Boulder, Colorado. We have three attorneys, and we serve folks all around the Front Range, sometimes even a little further out in Colorado. And we even help folks who are out of state if they have cases in Colorado. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, but we are a social enterprise nonprofit. So we do charge fees for our services, although they are what we consider greatly reduced. And we do also receive some grant funding. We have three attorneys on staff, and I think the organization has now been around, oh, don't hold me to it, 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. I've been on board for the last two.
Okay, great. So what type of cases do you all have?
So we do civil legal services, and by that I make a distinction from criminal. We don't do criminal defense, but we cover a fairly wide variety of cases, but primarily in the family law arena. So we do divorces, separations, what would be called in other states custody disputes. As an interesting aside, Colorado doesn't use the word custody. They call it an allocation of parental responsibilities, but I'll just use the word custody to make it easy for everyone. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of those. We also do landlord-tenants cases, other civil small claims. I've done a Social Security disability case with the firm, and one of our attorneys, Susan Vanderborg, also does a lot of what we call CFI investigations, or CFIs, which stands for Child and Family Investigation, which is part of those family law cases. And she does a lot of that in addition to the family law litigation.
Okay. Wow, you do a lot. And I know you're great because I've spoken with you several times. And you're passionate about what you do, and that is why I wanted you on the show. For those of you who are listening, you can reach any of the attorneys at Bridge to Justice at www.boulderbridgetojustice.org. And you can contact Erica via the website, and she will get back to you. All right. Well, again, like I said, thank you for coming on the show today. And I wanted to talk a little bit about situations in separation of families, meaning where two adults or two parents have separated and how that affects the children. Sometimes I know legal action has to be taken. So what are some of the circumstances that may occur in these cases? And also, what are some of the resolutions or preventatives that parents can start looking at instead of going to court if they can? But I know some situations there are no choice. I mean, they have to go to court in order for issues to be resolved. I will like to say that what we're going to talk about today, most of this is related to Colorado cases. So if you are in a different state, you can look up online and look up what the law says regarding your state. But what we're talking about today is the laws for the state of Colorado. So, Erica, we have, and this is a meaty conversation, so I will not be doing that much talking. It's just so much information out there that I would love to talk. I can ask 150 million questions to you, and you always have the answers. So I think I want to talk about child support first. I want to talk about those parents who have full custody of their child or children, and they are struggling, you know, with the child support, especially if the other parent isn't paying and is court ordered. What are the processes that they have to go through in order for them to get an increased child support or to get that revisited?
Sure. That's a very common problem that parents face. And first, let me jump on that this is specific to Colorado, because in the arena of law, family law is one of those scenarios where the states vary so widely. It's really dangerous to try to apply what is applicable in Colorado to any other state. And I'll also say, as an attorney, I worry that sometimes, you know, if I'm a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But I do want to encourage your listeners to talk to an attorney. It doesn't have to be Bridge to Justice. It doesn't have to be a pay attorney. There's lots of legal resources, like the family court facilitator at the courthouse, which, and I apologize, let me step back, they can't offer legal advice, but they can direct you to resources. If you have a question about your specific scenario. So what I'm going to try to do is talk generally, but know that there are resources, consultations, or free legal advice out there to find out about your specific situation.
So what I'm hearing is the first thing that one should do is seek advice, whether it's via legal advice or at least see where they need to go. Like, what's the next step? Instead of trying to tackle it on their own, it's best to, before they start this journey, to get legal advice or some type of advice and what would be best for them. Is that correct?
I think specifically in the child support modification situation, yes. So in the hypothetical you gave, there's already existing court order. So these folks have already been to court or at least had the child support enforcement do an administrative child support order. So in this case, there's already a legal case or order, and the question was about trying to get that modified. And so in that scenario, I would definitely encourage folks to go to a lawyer, or if they've worked with the county child support enforcement before, go back to them to ask first about how to move forward. But given that caveat, I can say generally, if you have an order, you can go to the court and do a motion to modify that order. And the court website, which is, if you Google Colorado courts, it'll bring you to the Colorado Judicial Branch website, which has a lot of forms and some guidelines and instructions, and even some software. Because when it comes to child support, it's pretty mathy. So child support in Colorado is dependent on a lot of variables, but primarily it's about income and it's about overnights. So overnights is tied with what you call custody. How many overnights does the child spend with each parent? And then income, here's the danger. That sounds like it's a really simple common sense thing, but there are lots of exceptions and rules about what counts as income. And what you have to do is do a calculation based on what your income is and what you believe the other parent's income is, and the overnights, and figure out if that would make more than a 10% change from your current child support order. If it does, then you file what's called a motion to modify child support in the court. Or you can just work it out directly with the other parent and change the child support that way. Or go through child support enforcement and change it that way. So there's lots of options that are dependent on the specific circumstances. I'll say, in almost all these situations, if you're able to just come to agreement with the other parent, the court usually will let you handle it that way and proceed, and maybe just have to file something with the court saying what your new agreement is. But speaking generally, the courts want parents to be able to work things out themselves and use the courts somewhat as a option of last resort if they really cannot agree.
So how does the method of modification happens when one of the other parents remarry and then they have other children by their new spouse? How does that work?
So it's interesting. You would think that if a parent gets remarried, that the courts or Colorado would think of them as having more financial resources, since now they're not single anymore. Now they have another spouse who's contributing to their finances. But Colorado statute for child support specifically excludes a new spouse's income when you're calculating what the parent's income is for the purposes of child support. And if they have children with this new marriage, that parent will actually get a credit on their child support worksheet. So it should reduce the obligation to the first parent or the first child, because the state, and this somewhat makes sense, the state realizes that the parent also has a financial obligation to these new children as well. But it cuts both ways. You can't count the new spouse's income, but you also give a credit for any new children on those child support worksheets. So it's a bit counterintuitive, and I find often comes as a surprise to many of my clients who are asking about this situation.
Yeah. Hello. I know all the single parents that have been divorced or separated and have issues with receiving child support from their spouses or the ex-spouses or their kids' parents or whatever are sitting here saying, what? What?
Yep.
You know, that's crazy to me. And I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying. It makes somewhat a little sense, but he or she now have two incomes in the household. Whereas the other parent may only have one house, one income. Now, see, of course, we wouldn't even be talking about this if both of them remarried and had two incomes. And, you know, the issue may be just pay on time or something. It wouldn't be that. But when you have the parent who had the child first, and then now you're saying because he got married, there's two incomes and maybe they had another child, his child support to his first child may be reduced. Wow.
That's right.
You're listening to Metro on KGNU. I'm Shakita Yarbrough, and I'm here on the first Monday of every month with my show, Victorious Single Parent. Today, my guest is Erica Fowler from Bridge to Justice, and we are just talking about alternatives to conflict within relationships, parenting, and what are your options when you have those conflicts? And you can get in contact with Erica Fowler from Bridge to Justice at www.boulderbridgetojustice.org. Okay. All right. Well, so basically there is no reason to even go to court then. If this person hadn't been paying child support prior, and then they get remarried and keep having children and, you know, so basically the child support for the first kid keeps getting reduced every child the other parent has, right?
Well, there is a credit for new children, but I wouldn't give up hope necessarily so quickly because it's, of course, more complicated than that. And another factor that goes into this is what that parent is making as mm-hmm. income. So if that parent is now making more than they were before, or is exercising less parenting time, that's what we call, you know, custody, having less overnights, those things can change the variables as well. And I'd also say that even if that person, let's say, isn't working very much, and you're worried that their income isn't going to be very much, the courts have the option, and you have the option to argue that they should be imputed at a specific income. So imputation is this concept that someone could be making more money than they are. So if someone is having what sometimes we describe as divorce flu, that, oh, now that I'm splitting up, or now that someone's looking at my income for the purposes of child support, suddenly I'm not feeling well and I'm not going to work. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I've decided to take this job that pays so much less than the old one did, coincidentally. So the court can come to a conclusion, and you have to prove this, but it could come to the conclusion that the person could be working more than they are, earning more than they are currently, at which point then the court does that worksheet, does that math, putting in a number of what the person could be earning instead mm-hmm. of what they're actually earning. So there's a lot of options there, but they're very fact specific. So again, and this is going to be my refrain, probably want to chat with an attorney about the likelihood of success for that. But I wouldn't give up hope so easy if you're thinking, oh, this person's going to get credit for their new child. There's other things to consider as well. And like I mentioned earlier, the concept of what counts as income isn't always necessarily intuitive. So if this person is, for example, getting a payout from a personal injury settlement or an inheritance or something along those lines, those are things to be looked at as well and considered. So it's worthwhile to have a chat and take a look at what the options are.
I do like the process of what the court system would do for the divorce flu. I think that's pretty cool. Now, is that in most states, or we know it's here in the state of Colorado, but we know it's here.
Right? We know it's in Colorado.
Okay.
And this is the trick is as an attorney, I go to law school and then I study for a bar for a specific state. And I couldn't tell you if they have imputation in Texas or Nevada or Illinois. I could easily research it. But this is something I have to say to clients as well, as they come and they say, you know, I'm moving to Illinois. What is the law there? And I can't advise them. I have to say we get a chat with someone who's an expert in other states. So it is an option here. And I've had success with that on several occasions. At the very least, if you've got someone only working part time, it's very often easy to at least get them imputed at full-time minimum wage.
Okay.
So unless they have a really good reason for not being able to work, like an actual substantiated disability, or for example, if they're caring for a child that's under 30 months, but it has to be the child of that relationship. So a stay-at-home parent still caring for a young child can't be imputed to a higher income in Colorado. So,
okay. I think that's a good thing. So, and I hope most states in the U.S. follow that law with the divorce flu. If you want to know, if you want to know more information about that, I'm sure you can find it on Google and look it up. So we don't have much more time left, but I do want to talk about a lot of conflict happens that I believe in. I'm pretty sure you experience as well as a family law attorney. When a parent leave the home or the relationship is over with, and then a year, 2 years come, you know, and then they want to come back and see the kid and want to be a part of the child or children life, and then there that brings on conflict within both parents, and then the kids are involved and they see that conflict, and sometimes it's really not good. It can be abusive emotionally and physically. So when in these situations, and it happens to, you know, quite a few families all over the United States, I know, but what would be just kind of run through with me, like, first step, if some ex-spouse or ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend come back and you've been taking care of this child or children, and then now they want to come in and say, I'm ready to be a parent, doesn't mean you have to have a relationship with them, intimate relationship again, but they want to come in and be the parent and start making decisions for the kid's life, which you have been doing since in their absence. So what are some of the first steps? Because I know for me, if that would happen, I think I would kind of get angry first. And within anger, you know, you start having these issues and you end up displaying that anger around your kids and they notice everything. So if you don't mind, just because we don't have much time, I told you this is a meaty conversation. We could talk about this for a week. So what are the steps for parents? Some steps for preventative when you hear about that person's coming back, and steps to take when they are there and things are not, it's not amicable.
So this is a meaty discussion, and a lot of this is going to depend on, in my mind as an attorney, about how the split happened in the first place, and if there's an existing court order for parenting time and decision making already, or if you, for example, if people weren't married, if you just split, went your separate ways, and the state has no idea about how you're divvying up parental responsibilities. So that matters to me as an attorney. But I think this is a good time to step back and say, I think people have a impression of divorce attorneys or family law attorneys as, you know, we're all about the fight and we're all about battle and winning or losing in court. And absolutely, sometimes it has to go to that level of conflict. But the family law bar here in Colorado, I think, has in the past several years especially really focused on taking ownership of their own piece of educating parents about the danger of exposing their kids to the conflict between the parents. The Colorado Bar Association specifically has made pamphlets about, you know, does unresolved parental conflict hurt kids? Yes, it does. The exposure, kids pick up a lot. And so even though I'm an attorney that can go to battle in court, very much what I end up doing is advising folks about other options of how can you try to work this out on your own with the other parent, you know, ways to structure solutions, ways to organize things, resources for people to use, then sometimes using more formal conflict resolution tools that aren't at the level of the court, like a mediator, or we have something called ENA, which is early neutral assessment, all those kinds of options. But a lot of it comes down to the attorney acting just as a problem solver. So, for example, if someone came to me and said, You know, the other parent's coming back around. He wants to see the kid. The kid is really doesn't know him, really nervous about it. I might make recommendations to family therapy or someone who does specific reunification work with a parent and a child. And there's all kinds of different things with that. Reunification therapy, reintegration therapy, family therapy, supervised therapeutic parenting time. That's if you're particularly concerned that there might be real endangerment with the child and the parent getting back together. Let's say if, you know, when the parent left, they were in a really bad place and the child has memories of that. Supervised therapeutic might be a good option. And sometimes people will just agree to this. Yeah, sure. I'll go to a therapist and have them guide this reintroduction with my child. And you don't necessarily need a court order or something like that. Just try it out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, recommending those alternatives of ways to work it out, or even just recommending what I call tools in a toolkit to try to reduce the conflict between the two parents while they're working it out. And that might be using third parties to exchange the child, doing exchanges in a public place, using tools instead of just text messaging or talking directly on the phone, using things like Talking Parents, which is a web-based program to communicate, or Civil Communicator, which is a monitored service so that neither parent can blow up on the other, that someone's actually intervening in the communication. So I'd say that, again, my recommendation is to find some local resources, and that can be, you know, specifically to a family law attorney in the private bar, or through a public Boulder County Legal Services, Bridge to Justice, call the Bar Association, go to a free legal clinic, and get some ideas. Because part of what the Family Law Bar does is collaborate with mental health professionals to try to find, and those resources, to try to recommend to people options they can use. But then I'd say we're also there if it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. That if the other person is insisting, I haven't seen this child in 5 years, I'm back, I'm taking them for the weekend, come talk to someone about your options to say, no, that's not okay. We need to structure this. And if you can't get agreement, to be able to go to the court to help the court facilitate that agreement. In other words, tell them what they need to do. But I would say there's lots of paths before the fight. And I'd also encourage your folks to know that just because you talk to a lawyer does not mean you're committing to hiring a lawyer and fighting in court. It's kind of like talking once to a financial advisor, or talking once to an attorney, is to find out what your options are, kind of the scope of the problems. And I think people are intimidated because they feel like if I go to talk to an attorney, that means I'm going down that path. I'm making it real and I'm going to go to war. And that it's up to the client. It's up to the person how they want to proceed. And I would encourage them to, you know, feel that autonomy that they get to ask professionals for their advice and information, but it doesn't mean that they're obligated to go down that path after that initial consultation.
So, like I said, that was some meaty, meaty stuff. And I mean, we could talk about that as well for a week on. So the main thing is, get some help, legal advice from somewhere that, you know, check the reviews, check and go to the Bar Association. Don't just choose somebody. Word of mouth is always the best. And you know, just to get that advice so you know where you're going, and what you need to do. And, there are services out there that are low cost or free legal aid out there. But the main thing is, before you start getting too upset, Seek legal advice as soon as you hear about it and know your options. Know if you want to go down that long journey, that difficult road. Sometimes it can be difficult. I would like to say thank you, Erica. I really appreciate you coming today. And I want to say early, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of my VS peers, my Victoria single parents out there. You've been listening to Metro on KGNU. I've been your host, Shakita Yarbrough. You can hear me on the first Monday of every month with my show, Victoria Single Parent, where we discuss the issues that concern single parent families. Today, my guest is Erica Fowler from Bridge to Justice, and you can get more information regarding all that we talked about today on my blog at victoriasingleparent.com. And you can reach Erica Fowler at Bridge to Justice at www.boulderbridgetojustice.org. Happy early Mother's Day, and I'll see you next June.